Welcome to Whiskey Cast, the Cask Strength podcast featuring news and interviews from the world of whiskey. I'm Mark Gillespie. This is episode number 215 for August 28th, 2009. Coming up in a few minutes.
Boating people tend to like a little drop of whiskey. It does get a bit cold sometimes in Ireland.
That's Michael Slevin, who was helping to organize a recreation of a key element in Irish whiskey distilling history this weekend. For decades, distillers used the Grand Canal of Ireland to ship barley to the distilleries and whiskey from the distilleries to market. But 50 years ago, commercial shipping ended along the Grand Canal, and a link from the canal to Kilbeggan was dammed up. Kilbeggan, of course, is the home of Lock's Distillery, which the folks at Cooley brought back to life 2 years ago. This weekend, the Kilbeggan line and the Grand Canal will come back to life for a day to honor the men who guided ships up and down that waterway. More details in a few minutes, but first, let's look at the week's news. The political debate in Scotland is getting even hotter as the summer moves on. Diageo reported an annual profit Thursday for its fiscal year ending June 30th of about $2.6 billion, but forecast lower growth for 2010 because of what CEO Paul Walsh called the murky outlook for the drinks industry in an interview with Bloomberg Television. Walsh also told the BBC that a plan to save jobs at the Johnny Walker bottling plant in Kilmarnock was short-sighted, and that if there's a gap between what Diageo's cost-cutting plan would save and what the Scottish government's plan would save, he expects the government to come up with the money to plug that gap. Meanwhile, the Scotsman reports Labour leaders are pressuring Scottish politicians to boycott this weekend's Johnny Walker Championship golf tournament at Glen Eagles. First Minister Alex Salmond was invited to attend the tournament as Diageo's guest, but a spokesman says Salmond's schedule will not allow it. Other Scottish and UK Parliament members were also invited, and several told the Scotsman they also have schedule conflicts this weekend. It may not be the most appropriate time to mention this, but Johnny Walker is celebrating the 100th anniversary of its Black Label Scotch this year. Commemorative bottlings are being rolled out around the world to mark the anniversary. Word comes from Diageo that the U.S. commemorative pack will go on sale starting next month. One final Diageo note, the company broke off talks with Vijay Mallya's United Spirits this week. Diageo had been negotiating for a minority stake in United Spirits, which owns White & Mackay, but the two sides were not able to come to terms. I mentioned Cooley briefly at the start of this episode, and you'll hear more about the company later, but there's a new look for its Connemara peated single malt. There's a new bottle design along with a new collection of small batch expressions. The first one is a sherry cask finished version. I had the chance to taste a pre-release sample of this one last fall in Paris. The sherry finish worked really well with the peat. Brook Laddie is coming out with the third bottling in its Infinity series of Islay single malts. This one has an unusual mix of styles. Quercus alba is the species of oak that's used for bourbon barrels in the U.S., but it also grows in Spain. And Brook Laddie sourced Quercus alba barrels that had been used for maturing sherry. There's no age statement on the Infinity 3 since it mixes a variety of peating levels and ages. It's being bottled at 50% ABV and will be available worldwide starting this fall. In the last episode, I mentioned the results of the latest whiskey auction at Bonhams in Edinburgh. The next auction is set for November 18th and will feature what Bonhams is billing as the world's largest single-owner whiskey collection. Willard Folsom collected more than 3,000 bottles of scotch between 1988 and his death in June of 2008. He was a retired airline employee from San Francisco who used his travel privileges to visit distilleries all over Scotland. Bonhams only plans to auction part of the Folsom collection in November. The rest will be sold at auctions in New York and Hong Kong next year. As for the claim about this being the world's largest whiskey collection, keep in mind that the Scotch Whiskey Experience in Edinburgh has now added the Clive Vidis collection to its tour with almost 3,500 bottles. I'll guarantee you my collection is nowhere near as big, but in the What I'm Tasting This Week department, the folks at Berry Brothers and Rudd surprised me with a couple of samples this week from the Berry's Own selection line. First off, a single cask from Blair Athol. It's cask number 2157 and was distilled in 1998 and bottled at 46%. It has a nice mix of light peat smoke and fruits, especially orange peel with a hint of mango. That continues on the taste with a nice balance between peat and fruit. It sticks to the tongue for a nice finish, and I'm scoring it an 86. It sells for about $48 a bottle. Now, Barry Brothers does more with single-grain whiskeys than many other bottlers, and I mentioned several episodes ago that single grains are an interesting alternative in hot weather. The second sample is a single grain from Invergordon, distilled in 1971 and bottled at 48% ABV. It's a light gold, oily and thick in the glass, and the nose is light with notes of coconut, bananas, vanilla, and just a slight hint of herbs. And even though it's a single grain, there's a nice maltiness to it as well. The taste, though, is nothing like the nose. It's a surprisingly spicy dram with a peppery kick that fades to reveal the fruity notes from the nose and finishes off with a light tropical touch that tingles the tongue. It sells for about $135 a bottle, and I'm scoring it a 92. Finally, I need to clarify last week's notes on the Rittenhouse Rye 25-year-old bottling that I scored a 95. I found out this week after taping that episode that the sample I was sent was not a single-barrel rye after all. Heaven Hill accidentally vatted ryes from the first three barrels of what will be released as the 25-year-old Rittenhouse rye into the sample they sent me, so it's not representative of what the single-barrel release will actually be like. They're sending a new sample from barrel number one, and I'll post my notes for it on the WhiskeyCast Facebook page after I've had a chance to taste it. I have no doubt, though, that it'll be just as good as the first sample, but I did want to clarify it for you. Don't forget, starting in September, the folks at Park Avenue Liquor Shop in New York will be offering an exclusive special each week just for WhiskeyCast listeners. You'll need to listen to the show each week to find out what the special is and how to order it. Time now for the calendar of events brought to you by Laphroaig. The Knob Creek Whiskey Professors will be holding a live webcast this coming Tuesday. It starts at 4 p.m. New York time. The Scotch Malt Whiskey Society's Australian chapter will hold a tasting in Melbourne on Wednesday, and Benny's in Chicago will host a Scotch tasting on Friday, the 4th of September. Of course, Whiskey Live Sydney takes place all this week with tastings and masterclasses leading up to the festival itself on the 6th. I'll be at the Whiskey Guild's dinner cruise and tasting on September 10th in New York City, and the Kentucky Bourbon Festival runs September 15th through the 20th in Bardstown. Finally, Milroy's of Soho in London will hold a masterclass with John Glazer of Compass Box on September 30th. You'll find a complete calendar of events on the WhiskeyCast website, and it's brought to you by Laphroaig Quarter Cask.
Hi there, my name's John Campbell, distillery manager at Laphroaig Distillery. Become a friend of Laphroaig. Claim your own square foot of Islay at laphroaig.com.
Prohibition in the U.S. wiped out many of Ireland's whiskey distilleries in the 1920s, and more fell victim to economic hard times in the 50s. Many of those distilleries used the Grand Canal of Ireland to ship supplies in and whiskey out. But when that business dried up, so did shipping along the canal. This weekend, that part of Irish distilling history is coming back to life, as the canal will once again be used to ship whiskey from Kilbeggan to Dublin, even if it's just one cask. Michael Slevin is helping to lead the project. I caught up with him in Dublin this week.
50 years ago, in 1959, the commercial canal traffic ceased. So you have a load of guys whose lives effectively ended, or their way of life ended in 1959. And I was taking a boat. I take a boat in regularly into Dublin, and it struck me that this is something that we should mark properly. So every year we try and do something to highlight this neglected 8-mile stretch of water. And this struck me as the perfect way to combine a couple of passions, basically whiskey and the waterways. So we contacted Cooley, who own Lox Distillery, which is at one end of the line. And in fact, that line was built for the whiskey industry. So it would have brought in coal, timber for barrels, barley, just the raw materials, and of course export took out the finished product. So this struck me as the perfect thing. Get Cooley involved, get ship for the first time in 50 years a cask of whiskey from Kilbeggan into Dublin. So that's basically it.
And you're talking about the Kilbeggan line that's off of the Grand Canal, right? That goes
that's
to
off the Grand Canal. Yes, indeed. It's an 8-mile spur that is partly in water, but it's dammed and hasn't been used since 1960 or so.
Now, tell me about the Grand Crew, the guys who were running this line and who were doing all the work on the canal back when It was shut down in 1959.
Yes, indeed. That line was closed, possibly even a little bit before that, because Locke's distillery themselves ran into trouble in the 50s. So they shut down in 1958 as a functioning distillery. So, and of course, the good news is that that distillery in Kilbeggan is back distilling. It's been maturing whiskey for about 20 years, but it's now back distilling as of 2 years ago. So maybe in another year or two we'll be able to ship some spirits that has been distilled at Kilbeggan. But the guys themselves, there's about 40 of these lads still surviving, and every year we organise a reunion for them. There's a group called Heritage Boat Association that tries to basically keep their memories alive and keep the boats alive. There are probably around 60 or 70 of these old canal boats from the 1920s, 30s, still functioning at the moment.
And you're going to use one of those boats to ship the barrel down the
coast? We are indeed going to do that. We have a boat called the 107B, and that's currently being restored, and the intention is that that is a floating museum. So this project, we hope everybody benefits from it, and one of the things that they get is they get to keep the casks. So there'll be exhibits on that boat in years to come.
Now, of course, there's whiskey involved in all this, right?
Absolutely.
Have to keep the priorities in order here.
Oh, very much so. Yeah, we again approached Cooley, who own Locks, and asked them, well, basically, could you supply us with a nice whiskey? Normally, Cooley offer a Tyrconnell to people who want to bottle their own whiskey, but that didn't really make much sense for this purpose. And Cooley have been very, very good to us. And they're allowing us to bottle this whiskey. It's a 9-year-old single malt. And they're allowing us to bottle that as a Locks, which is the original distillery there in Kilbeggan. And that's the whiskey that would have been carried by the canal boats.
And what's going to happen to the whiskey that's in that cask?
Well, that is going to be presented to the, or at least 30 or 40 bottles will be presented to the surviving canal men. And then the remainder will be divvied up among the various organizations. As you can imagine, the boating people tend to like a little drop of whiskey. It does get a bit cold sometimes in Ireland, so we will divvy that up among members of the Irish Whiskey Society, who obviously have a whiskey interest and are champing at the bit to get their hands on it. And the other participants are the Inland Waterways Association guys and the Heritage Boat Association. So we have a number of parties anxious to get their hands on it. And some bottles, a limited number, will be available in the Celtic Whiskey Shop in Dublin. Ali Alpine has done a fantastic job promoting Irish whiskey over the last few years.
So if someone wanted to buy a bottle of this, whatever's left, they could contact the Celtic Whiskey Shop, right?
That's correct. We have a website called grandcrew.iwai.ie. That's Grand, C-R-E-W. And there is a link there which will take you to the Celtic Whiskey Shop.
And we will, of course, post a link to that on the WhiskeyCast website.
Many thanks for that.
Now, this really played a key role in the history of distilling in Ireland, too, as well as not just the boating history, the shipping history, but in the whiskey history, too, right?
Oh, absolutely. The canals in Ireland served a number of distilleries. So Tullamore is just 5 or 6 miles from Kilbeggan. And, of course, Tullamore Dhu was the product there. There were also distilleries at Monaster Evan and, of course, at the far end in Dublin, or the near end, depending which way you look at it, where you had Jemison and Powers and Rowe and all of those guys all shipped by canal. Latterly, of course, it was the canals famous for transporting Guinness, and that's primarily because the whiskey industry really declined markedly in the 1950s in Ireland.
And the shipping industry with it as well as part of the recession that hit back in the 50s at that time.
That's correct. At the end, really, the principal transports were sugar, turf, which is a peat, I guess, for burning, and barley for Guinness, and, of course, the finished product. And Guinness was probably the last, commercially transported product on the canal.
How did you get involved with all this?
Well, Mark, I guess I've been a fan of whiskey and collecting, more drinking really than collecting whiskey for the past 12, 13 years. And I'm also heavily involved in the waterways, so this struck me as the perfect way to combine two passions, really. My own whiskey beginnings were at home. It was the common treatment for a common cold. Even though both my parents were teetotal, we always had a drop of hot whiskey whenever a cold threatened. And as I told you earlier, such was my fear of not having the odd hot whiskey as a child that I asked a bishop during my confirmation whether or not I would could continue to take hot whiskey and whether I would break my pledge of total abstinence in doing so. So ever since then, I've been a fan.
Let me guess, your parents were none too pleased with that.
My mother still goes bright red whenever that is mentioned. that bishop went on to become Cardinal of Ireland, so I'm sure he got a laugh out of it.
Is there anything else you can add I didn't ask about?
No, except I think really that we are looking forward to transporting this cask down the line on Saturday. We have organized a local Clydesdale to transport the cask the 8 miles. So it's a rather large but very friendly horse. And we have a vintage truck laid on to take it for the first mile. So we're also hoping to get some of the original canal men to move the barge the first 100 meters or so pulled by a horse. So we're really trying to get everybody in on the act and basically have an enjoyable day. We're just praying for good weather now.
If you want to learn more about the history of distilling in Ireland, I recommend the Ireland Whiskey Trail website, which has not only the history, but also how you can explore that history today. Heidi Donnellan told us about the site last March in episode 191, and you'll find it in the archives at the WhiskeyCast website, along with every other episode. You'll find links to my Twitter feed and the WhiskeyCast Facebook page, too, along with the calendar of events and the WhiskeyCast store, and a new feature. I carry a camera on many of my trips, and I've posted a gallery of some of my favorite photos from the last couple of years. Just look for the gallery link. The address is www.whiskeycast.com, and my email address for questions and suggestions is comments@whiskeycast.com. I'm still collecting questions for the next Q&A episode coming up in a couple of weeks. WhiskeyCast is a production of MG Media, copyright 2009, and comes to you from the charming, yet regrettably dry town of Haddonfield, New Jersey. I'm Mark Gillespie, reminding you that when you drink, please drink responsibly. Thanks for listening.